Holy Eucharist this morning is offered to the glory of God and in thanksgiving for the 60th anniversary of the ordination of Bishop Kaiser to the priesthood. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain, apart by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his clothes became a dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man has been risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Be in my head and in my understanding. God, be in mine eyes and in my looking. God, be in my mouth and my speaking. God, be in my heart and in my thinking. God, be at mine end and in my depart. Amen.
Amen.
I just had a wonderful experience that very few people have, including the dean of this cathedral, because I came in rather than process in. And I saw the choir come in, and their faces, and their enthusiasm, and obviously their excitement of being here to sing. Praise the Lord. And I saw the senior choristers being led by an energetic, loving, caring director, and wasn't their song beautiful? I thank Dean Kate for inviting me to be the celebrant and preacher on February the 15th, 2015, because 60 years ago today, I was ordained a priest in this cathedral by Bishop Juen. And so I thought it only fitting that I dress as he was dressed 60 years ago in a black rochet. It was on a Thursday, as I recall, a Wednesday or Thursday. And the next day, I celebrated my first Eucharist when that was the chapel over there. And how exciting it was that on the elevation of the host at that time, the bells from the Roman Catholic Church pealed away, because obviously both priests were at the same point in their service. And then on Sunday following, when I was at Holy Cross for the first time as their priest, it was an exciting day, and one that I had to finally admit to, yes, I did knock over the chalice. I was a little nervous. About 6 months later, the altar girl forgave me when I raised enough money to buy a new pair of linen. Some people have asked, well, how did you come up with the date of February the 15th? It started when I was ordained to the diaconate, and Bishop Juan asked me what date in June I would like. And I said, the 24th of June happens to be my mother and father's wedding anniversary. And so he said, make it so. It also happens to be the feast of St. John the Baptist. So when it came to time to be priested, I went to Bishop Juan and he said, well, you're going to be a deacon longer than 6 months. What? Well, 6 months from June the 24th, is December the 24th, and I don't think we're going to have an ordination on Christmas Eve. So he said, January is an awfully busy month, the council and everything. Let's shoot for February. I said, yes, sir. He paused for a moment and said, there are no saints' days in February. So I said, well, what about St. Valentine? He said, it will be February the 15th. And I said, yes, sir. I went back to him a few months after that and said, I've got to ask for another dispensation. He said, what is that? I said, you had said one time that you didn't think it would be wise of me to be married unless I'd been a priest for 6 months. But Christine Crutchfield and I want to get married sooner than that. He said, well, when do you want to get married? And I said, August the 6th. He said, that's a 9-day dispensation. You can get married before you've been a priest for 6 months. And so the Gospels for the last Sunday in Epiphany with our parable always remind me not only of ordination, but of my wonderful marriage, the wonderful person. A lot of folks have asked me, who are recent ordinands, what can you expect as a priest or as anyone in the ministry, even our baptismal ministry? And I said, well, the one thing that I think you might want to think about is always expect the absolutely unexpected. Expect the very unusual. Expect that God will use you in a variety of ways which you never, ever thought would ever happen. I won't belabor and talk forever. Chris said, remember the kiss. Keep it short, sweetie. Some of the things that have happened to me in the last 60 years blow my mind. Soon after I came on active duty in the Navy, Chris and I were ordered to Key West to be with the ships and the submarine. About a year after that, a week before our last daughter was born, week after that, we had the thing called the Cuban Missile Crisis. Only those of you who are old know what I'm talking about. And I got a call on Saturday morning, and the Commodore said, "Get over here now." And I got over there, and they said, "We don't have an operational plan, and we've received word we're going to have an embargo and a blockade of Cuban." The Commodore turned to me and said, "Were you any good at math?" "Not bad," he said, "good. Design the course and speed for the four ships that we will need to use to do that. That's not part of theological education." Or after that tour, we were in the Wisdom of the Navy, sent from Key West to Great Lakes, Illinois, in January. Been there for a certain period of time, and Al Van Beck, Roman Catholic priest, who was sort of like a brother to both Chris and me, we were in the first 3 weeks of boot training. That's where we met all the recruits. But every Friday, there was a graduation, and we all took turns with an invocation and with a prayer for this. And one Friday, when it was my turn, I got ready, and I was over there, ready to go in, and the base commander came and said, "Be upbeat, because we have just discovered and been told the President of the United States has been assassinated. And so you go in before 1,000 young people as if nothing was wrong. And yet so many were wrong. I still find it quite difficult to talk about the 13 months that I was with the Marines in Vietnam. It was the worst 13 months of my life, and yet it was the most powerful in my ministry. Writing letters of condolence, putting young men in bags to be shipped home, answering questions. But that came to an end. And the highlight of it was one Christmas. One Christmas, a few months before Christmas, Sergeant Major of the regiment and I were bemoaning the awful day before and night before. And both of us probably had had too much to drink. But we vowed that every Marine in our theater of operation was going to receive a beer, a steak, and a wrapped Christmas present. And I wrote Chris. The people of this community responded. And I received through the mail the most splendid Santa Claus suit you could ever imagine. And the Marine Corps gave us a helicopter for Christmas Eve. And we started at 6 o'clock in the morning. And we'd drop in, out would step Santa Claus. We had a beer, a steak, and a wrapped present for every Marine. And then, about 6 that afternoon, we'd finish a long 12 hours. And both the Roman Catholic chaplain and I both wanted to have a midnight Eucharist. And so what we did, as an English bishop once put it, we practiced ecumenical behind closed doors. We used the same identical liturgy of the word. And then I had my prayer of consecration, and he had his. which happened to be born in the same. And we identified afterwards, we said, now those who would like to receive from the Catholic chaplain, please come here. Those from the Protestant chaplain, please come here. And much to our surprise and learning experience, they came to both of us. And when asked why, they said to us, we only can survive when we stay together. And you were trying to separate. That night, I experienced the true body of Christ. A couple of other things, and then I'll move on. When I was the fleet chaplain for U.S. Naval Forces Europe, we'd had all of that part of Europe. One of the things that we had done is help negotiate and get some money and build a restful place at the end of the pier, one of the piers in Naples Harbor for our young men and women, well, all men then, young men, to have a place to relax when they came in the port on the ship. And we were asked, well, could we include some of the Italians? I said, why, certainly. And so I received word that the Bishop of Patuli, of Pozzuoli, which in the biblical translation is Patuli, the place that Paul landed, if I would be willing to go and to meet with His Holiness the Pope. And we did. And I was sort of sitting on the front row, and out comes the Pope in his, he rides around, and as he starts a second time, we hear the gunshot, and the Pope had been shot. It was an absolute potential, horrendously awful situation until a little old priest got up and went to the mic and calmly started praying the rosary. And 50 to 60,000 people joined in saying the rosary. A couple days later, back at Naples, the Bishop of Pozzuoli invited me to come for a service. I said I'd be delighted. I don't speak any Italian, but I sort of had a sense of where they were in the service. And I had this strange feeling that he kept looking at me and then the congregation. And when it came time for the peace, he sent one of his canons down and had me brought up to the high altar for the two of us to exchange the peace, something that had never, ever happened anywhere in that. Lastly, I could not imagine what God had in mind when I woke up one day realizing I was sitting at the dining room table in the home of the Patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church. And we were discussing, and he said how grateful he was that the Episcopal Church, I representing the Episcopal Church, met with his bishop for the armed forces and talked about ministry. He said, you know, that's the first time, I believe it's the first time in the history of Christianity that a Western bishop and an Eastern bishop sat together and talked about Christ and ministry. And so that's sort of a little snapshot. One of the things that we do know about today in particular, it is in fact the Sunday of Mardi Gras. And somewhere along the line, I ended up as the interim dean at Christ Cathedral in New Orleans. And it happened to be at the Mardi Gras time. And if anybody knows that, you know that the cathedral in New Orleans, all the Sunday, all the Monday, and all the Tuesday day parades pass right by. And so they thought it would be best if I had a Mardi Gras mitre. And so I have a Mardi Gras mitre to remind you that Wednesday begins a very, very important time in the life of the body of Christ. When I was growing up, and probably as I look out, maybe when some of you were growing up, and that was a time in which we gave up something. Fortunately, the liturgical people have made sure over the last 60 years that we look at it not as a time to give up, not even as a time to take on, but it is a time in which we can come apart, not unlike the transfiguration experience on the mountain. I've read what Dean Kate has said to you. I'm aware of the incredible opportunities this cathedral and all a lot of parish churches are providing for us to come apart periodically during the next 40 days and to experience as those early followers of Jesus a real wow experience. And you know, if you read, if you go get your Bibles, finish that portion of Mark, which is true for all the other two Sundays, the B and C, A, B, and C, all three literally, all three have the transfiguration. But for me, the key is that after they came down, as they walked, they were talking about, well, what happened? Who are you? And the first thing that our Lord did was to heal a person's child. His whole ministry was to the people on the fringe, the people rejected by society, the people who were held in less respect. If we are truly to be the body of Christ, there's a lot of people there, out there, who needs to know our love, who needs to know of our strength. And so I would be foolish and idiotic to pray for another 60 years. But my prayer is that whatever number of years I have left, that we all may really start to become truly Let us stand and confess the faith of the body of Christ by saying the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father,
God from God, light from light,
true God from true.
In this season of Epiphany, we remember the wise ones whose journey by the brightest star's light brought them to the light of the world. Let us pray together, saying, Christ be our light. For the people of God throughout the world, and for all of us gathered here together, that we will learn how God wants us to live, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For our president, for the leaders of every nation, and for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, for all we love, those who live and those who have died, especially Harry Griffiths, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For all who are sick, sad, hungry, afraid, alone, or in any kind of trouble, that they will be helped and comforted, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For what is in our hearts today, we ask you to hear us, God.
We pray for peace throughout the world, especially in the Middle East, Egypt, Jordan, Yemen, Iraq. We also pray for the people of Ukraine and Nigeria.
For all that we have and all that we share, we thank you, God.
We thank you for Bishop Kaiser, for his great leadership and faithfulness.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life everlasting. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Praying together, most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us. that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's greet one another in the peace of the Lord.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad that you're here today. Bishop Kaiser, are you back there? There he is. We are so grateful for you and for your life and your witness. Let us say thank you to him. I promise that I won't do this very often, but Bishop Kaiser has a particular ministry that he focuses on in his retirement, and that is that of the Wounded Warrior Project. So what he does is he goes for weekends with wounded veterans and prays with them and is with them. And if any of you want to make a donation to the Wounded Warrior Project, just write a check and put that. Write the check to the cathedral, but put that in the memo section, okay? I want to open that up as a possibility. I know my heart is full, and I want to make a donation. So know that that's a way to honor Bishop Kaiser's work, even as he continues today. A couple of announcements. There will be a Boy Scout planning meeting today at 11 o'clock for all who are interested in our new Boy Scout troop. As Bishop Kaiser mentioned, Lent is upon us. So 6 o'clock, we're all going to stuff ourselves at Shrove Tuesday. And then I really want you all to take a moment before Wednesday and plan something that you're going to do differently during the 40 days, okay? It's better to do it before Wednesday, not to just wake up and go, uh-oh, what am I supposed to do? Could you create some space for God in your life? Is there some way you could do that? Could you study or pray or serve the poor? Whatever it is, hi dear, think about that and make a vow to practice that, okay? We have a lot of offerings in Lent. Ash Wednesday services at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. We'll be imposing ashes upon people. The Bishop Howard will be here at noon. We have the daily office, so we'll be doing morning and evening prayer every day, 7 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the afternoon. We have Stations on the Cross every Friday evening at 5, which lasts about a half an hour. There will be an icon workshop, so you could paint an icon during Lent. So many different things. Next Sunday also is the Lenten Evensong at 5 p.m., and next Sunday, as we begin Lent, we have got the H. Alvin Green Choir will be with us. So we're going to have a rockin' gospel Sunday next Sunday to begin Lent. We have a wonderful volunteer who has made name tags for everyone. If you don't have a name tag and would like one, go out into the hallway here. We have a few laid out. You can write your name down and we'll make you one, okay? So it's great to wear those. You can bring them home, or you can leave them on the pegs in the hallway between the sanctuary and Tolliver Hall. But wear your name tags to church. It's good for us to call each other by name. Cheryl's got hers on. There she is. Yay! See? They look great. They're easy to put on. Fun. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home.
Are you willing to create and have it be?
From the primal elements you brought forth the human race, and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another.
Have mercy, Lord, for we are sinners in your sight.
Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages you reveal your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood, you reconcile us. By his wounds, we are healed.
Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. By you and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit, that they may be the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine and gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me, remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving." Lord, God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name.
This is all, be known to us, the breaking of bread.
Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on them in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Now please join me as we send forth our lay Eucharistic minister who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us. Loves me when I'm the most unlovable. Depart in peace. Remember the poor. Be kindly affectionate one to another with the love of Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Praise be God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.